السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The importance of Salat has been emphasized on many occasions in the Holy Quran. On some occasions, we have been commanded to safeguard our Salat, and while on others, we have been advised to offer Salat with regularity. While still on others, timely offering of Salat has been commanded. Then, the right times for daily prayers have been prescribed, which should be observed and followed by a mu'min, i.e. a true believer. In short, God Almighty has repeatedly asked a true believer to offer Salat and has emphasized the importance of Salat. Most of all, Allah the Almighty says that the very purpose of man's creation is to worship Allah, as Allah the Almighty says, that I have not created man and jinn except for my worship. However, man has drifted away because he has not understood this purpose. In one of his writings, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam says, the main purpose for which God Almighty has created you for is to worship him. But those who ignore the true and the real purpose and think that life is about eating, drinking and sleeping like animals, they deprive themselves of Allah the Almighty's favor and protection. And God Almighty no longer takes on their responsibility. Thus, the objective of life for everyone who claims to have faith is to make every possible effort to seek Allah the Almighty's favor and to become the recipient of God Almighty's grace and to attain His grace and blessings. However, how can we fulfill this objective? For this, we have been commanded to offer Salat 5 times a day in Islam in order to achieve this objective. According to a hadith, i.e. the saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salat is the crux of all worship. Therefore, we can only achieve our objective by getting to this crux. We are very fortunate to have recognized the Imam of the time, who has given us guidance about the most appropriate way for worship, and he has also explained the wisdom of why certain acts of worship have been made compulsory upon us. He has drawn his Jamaat's attention to Salat on many occasions, and he has enlightened us about the specifics of Salat and also its various aspects, and also the need for them and the wisdom behind them, so that we can understand the importance of our Salat and are able to adorn our worship. I will present some of the extracts from the writings of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Sometimes, slackness creeps in, especially in offering the Salat of Fajr. This is either due to severity of weather or due to shortness of nights. And I have also noticed that people combine their Zuhr and Asr prayers, or they do not offer them properly, or some leave them altogether due to excessive work. Therefore, whether it is due to the severity of weather, lack of sleep, or excessive work, people either ignore their salat, or some even say they combine three salats together. These days, the Fajr time is receding quite quickly in these countries, and I have noticed attendance at Fajr Salat has started to go down by about 1 to 1.5 rows. Occasionally, the number increases as some people come from other areas, but people who live locally should pay attention towards this. Those who live close to the mosque or those who have their own mosques or salat centers should regularly go for salat, and especially for the salat of Fajr. There should be an effort to keep the mosques inhabited, not only in this country but throughout the world. The attendance at Salat can improve, especially if the office bearers, Jamaat workers and missionaries make an extra effort for it. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, writes about offering Salat regularly. Observe prayer services regularly. Some people content themselves with one prayer service daily. However, they must remember that no one is exempt from them. Not even the prophets are exempt from offering salat. It has been narrated in a hadith that a company of men who had just accepted Islam requested the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be exempted from salat due to their excessive work engagements. However, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A religion that does not demand action is no religion at all." Therefore, thoroughly understand that you need to perform your actions in accordance with the commands of Allah the Almighty. One of the commands of God the Almighty is that the heavens and the earth can only be sustained through His doing. Some people who are inherently inclined to naturism assert that only natural religions are worthy of being followed. They believe that religiousness and inner purity will have no worth when one's hygiene and physical well-being are neglected. Worldly people say that there are numerous worldly principles that should be adopted. For example, they state that if certain principles are not followed, such as those relating to one's health and well-being, then one will no longer be able to maintain righteousness and cleanliness and purity, and righteousness alone will serve no purpose. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, it should be clearly understood that one of the injunctions of Allah the Almighty is that often medicines and the physical means to one's good well-being and health give no benefit. At this point, neither any doctor nor any medicine prove to be of any use. However, if God's doing is present, then even the worst situation can be rectified. Thus, God Almighty's grace is the real and actual factor. It is a misconception for everyone to believe that good health means that all is well, or that by performing certain actions one can maintain good health, or that such and such medicine will cure one of illness or ailments. All of these things only give effect through the command of Allah the Almighty. And so we need to worship, submit and prostrate to Him and develop a connection with Allah the Almighty, through whose command these things come into effect. Therefore, where prayers are necessary to fulfill the very purpose of our creation, they also save us from calamities and tribulations. This is because when one submits to God and forms a relationship with Him, God makes possible things which seem impossible. In short, whatever occurs in the world happens purely in accordance with the command of God Almighty. Therefore, we should strive to our utmost to accumulate the blessings and grace of God the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, the actual fact of the matter is that God does whatever He wills. He populates what is desolate and makes desolate what is populated. Where in the city of Babylon man had great plans to populate was made desolate by the will of God Almighty. And it became a completely deserted place where only owls remained. And those places which man intended to abandon was made to be the focal point for mankind, that is, the Kaaba in Mecca. Therefore, remember that to abandon God and then rely on prayer and efforts will lead one to ruin. You should bring about such a transformation in your lives that you come to realize that you have adopted a completely new life. Seek forgiveness of your sins profusely. Those who are so engrossed in their worldly affairs that they barely have a chance to act on this are the ones who should be the most fearful. Those who think that they have too many worldly engagements to be able to worship and pray should be most afraid. One's work and employment often leads him to completely abandoning the obligations due to God the Almighty. Thus, in compelling circumstances, it is permissible to combine the prayers of Zuhr with Asr and Maghrib with Isha. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, I am also aware that if one seeks permission at work to offer their prayer from their superior, then they do allow it. If in employment one has a good reputation and seeks permission from their manager or superior to offer prayers, they normally receive approval. Further high-ranked people at work issue special instructions to subordinates in this respect. In some places, instructions are disseminated to employees. Weak spirit and a weak self are the sole reason why misplaced excuses are cited for not performing the prayers. Do not transgress and be unjust in offering the rights due to God and to His creation. Fulfill your obligations with utmost honesty and trustworthiness. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, goes further in his expectations of us and does not only remind us about the formal prayers, rather, counseling us towards nawafil, i.e. voluntary prayers and tahajjud prayers. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, what provisions have been made for the hereafter if every breath of one's life has been spent in worldly matters? If a person has spent every minute, every breath and every moment in worldly pursuits, what provisions has he made for the hereafter? The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, make a special effort to awaken for the tahajjud prayer, i.e. pre-dawn prayer, and offer it with passion and pleasure. Due to one's occupation, a person may be put in trial for the prayers that fall in the middle of the day. However, Allah the Exalted is the provider. Prayer should be offered on its appointed time. The Zuhr and the Asr prayers can at times be combined. As Allah the Exalted knows that there will be weak people, therefore He has permitted this leniency. However, this leniency cannot be granted in combining three prayers. Whereas people are admonished at work and due to other matters as well as being rebuked by their rulers, how great would it be to face hardship for the sake of Allah the Exalted? After all, people are admonished at worldly occupations and worldly matters as well, and at times they even face hardship. Therefore, if they would face some difficulty in offering prayers for the sake of Allah the Exalted, then there is only benefit in that. Therefore, as shorter nights are now approaching, a believer should always remember that the shorter nights should not hinder a person from offering the prayers on time or to offer them at all. And nor should worldly occupations become a hindrance for him. Therefore, we always need to assess ourselves in this regard. Many of us offer the prayer as an obligation. However, they are not fully aware of its significance and of its essence. Elaborating on this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said on one occasion that what is prayer? Prayer is a special supplication. However, people consider it to be the tax of kings. They offer it out of compulsion, as if it is a tax. The ignorant do not know what need Allah the Exalted has of these matters, what need His self-sufficiency has of a person engaging in supplication and glorification and praise. Rather, this benefits a person as he achieves his goal by doing so. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, it greatly sorrows me to see that nowadays there is no love for worship or for righteousness and honesty. And one of its reasons is a general poisoning effect of culture. Due to this, the love for Allah the Exalted is fading, and the pleasure which should be achieved during prayer is not being achieved. There is not a single thing in the world in which Allah the Exalted has not placed a certain pleasure and delight. In similitude to an ailing person not being able to enjoy something of the highest quality and taste, and considers it to be bitter or bland. At times, a bad taste is generated in the mouth due to the illness. Similarly, those who do not find delight and pleasure in the worship of God should be worried about their ailment, because as I have mentioned earlier, there is not a single thing in the world in which Allah the Exalted has not placed the slightest pleasure. Allah the Exalted has created man for worship. Then what is the reason for there not to be any pleasure and delight for him in worship? On one hand, Allah the Exalted says that I have created man merely for worship, yet he has not placed any pleasure in it. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, pleasure and delight are indeed present. However, someone should also be present in order to derive that pleasure from it, i.e. someone should be there to acquire that pleasure. Allah the Exalted says that I have not created the jinn and the men, but they may worship me. Now, as man has been created for worship, it is necessary for worship to contain a great amount of pleasure and delight. We can understand this very well from our daily observations and experiences. Allah the Exalted has placed pleasure and delight in everything, and we can understand them through our daily affairs and as they come to be observed. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, For example, grain and everything to eat and drink has in fact been created for the purpose of man. Therefore, does he then not acquire pleasure and delight through them? It is delighting when delicious food is cooked. Does he not possess a tongue in his mouth for its flavor, taste, and perception? Is he not delighted by seeing beautiful things, whether they are vegetation, minerals, animals, or people? A person enjoys food and enjoys beauty through the means of his eyes by looking at it. Do his ears not find delight from pleasant and melodious voices? Allah the Exalted has given us ears, and when melodious voices reach the ear, it pleases the heart. Hence, what more could be needed to prove that there is delight in the worship of Allah the Almighty? All of these things which Allah the Exalted has created contain an element of pleasure, and one is delighted by them. However, how can it be possible for worship to not contain any element of pleasure? All of these things are proof that Allah the Exalted has most certainly placed pleasure in worship also. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah the Exalted says that we created women and men as a pair, and have granted man an inclination towards her. There is no compulsion in this, rather, it manifests a pleasure in itself. If reproduction was the only objective, the purpose could not be achieved. The promised Messiah says, Allah the Exalted's foremost objective was to create humans, and for this purpose, he created a relation between women and men. Along with this, he placed a pleasure therein, which has become the primary objective of the majority of the ignorant people. Some worldly people consider this to be their only objective. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, similarly, understand this well, that there is no burden or tax in worship. It also contains a pleasure and delight. And this pleasure and delight is greater than all worldly pleasures and all pleasures of one's being. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, in similitude to an ailing person being deprived of the pleasure of food of the highest quality and taste, is indeed that unfortunate person who does not find pleasure by worshipping Allah the Almighty. If an ailing person dislikes good food and does not perceive its taste due to his ailment, sickness, or the bitter taste of his mouth, it does not mean that the food is bad, rather it means that he is ailing. Similarly, the person who does not find pleasure in prayers and worship, it does not mean that Allah the Exalted has not placed any pleasure or delight in prayers. Indeed, God Almighty has placed pleasure in it. However, it is the person's own nature or an ailment and blandness of a person that does not enable him to derive the pleasure. Therefore, we should look for such things which possess pleasure and delight, and are not simply performing something by considering it to be a mere burden. And when this condition is developed within them, then, as I mentioned, that some people attend the Fajr prayer during the longer nights, but stop coming for the Fajr prayer during these shorter nights, they will remain ever focused in seeking this pleasure, and they will similarly be mindful of the observation of the other prayers. To expand further on the concept of pleasure and delight of Salat, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, indeed, I see that people are ignorant of Salat because they do not appreciate the true pleasure and satisfaction that comes with namaz. This is undeniably the main reason why people are indifferent towards Salat. Then in towns and cities, this apathy towards Salat is much worse. Even 50% of people do not bow down to their God with total dedication and true love. And so the question is, why do they not know about the pleasure associated with Salat? And why have they not ever experienced this pleasure? Does their religion not give them such teachings? At times they are so engrossed in their worldly tasks that they pay no attention to the muazzin, i.e. the one who calls for prayer, and he carries on calling for the prayers, as if they are sorry to have heard the call for the prayer. They feel upset that now after hearing this call, they will have to offer their salat. At other times, they pay no attention to the call for prayers at all, We need to feel sorry for such people. Some of them have shops underneath the mosque, but still make no effort to go upstairs to the mosque. So I wish to say that one should supplicate to God Almighty with extreme anguish and tenderness, that as Allah the Exalted has enabled us to taste flavors of this world, such as fruits, etc., may He also grant us the taste and flavor of worship. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that as you enjoy and relish the flavors of fruit and other tasteful things, pray to God that He grants you the ability to enjoy and savor salat as well. If someone sees something very beautiful, one remembers it for a very long time. Similarly, one can vividly recall if one sees a very ugly and horrible scene. Therefore, we have the ability to recall anything that is either very beautiful or very ugly. However, we don't remember things that have no impact on us. In the same way, the one who does not enjoy his salat, for his salat is mere labor. For someone like this, salat feels like a chore that one has to carry out by getting up early in the morning from a beautiful sleep, giving up one's comforts and performing ablution for no good reason. The fact of the matter is that such a person is not fully aware. He has not comprehended the true pleasure and tranquility that comes with salat. So how can such an unaware person feel motivated by observing salat? Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, I can see that when a drinker does not get the pleasure and joy of drinking, he carries on drinking till he can experience the joy of alcohol and is intoxicated. There is a lesson in this for a wise and knowledgeable person, i.e. a sensible person can learn from this example. That is, that one needs to persevere with salat until one attains the capacity to fully enjoy and cherish salat. And this should be done even if one does not enjoy salat. One must try one's best and pray to God and persist till one attains the joy of salat. And just like a drinker seeks to gain the pleasure of drinking, in the same way, focus all your efforts and energies to attain the joy of salat. And along with this, pray with all your commitment and dedication and anguish that you may gain the pleasure of salat. This will lead to a sort of desperation and desire and yearning to pray even more. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, I strongly reassure you that if you do this, you will definitely attain the joy and the bliss of salat. When saying salat, keep in mind all the benefits that can be gained from it and focus on the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Remember that surely good works drive away evil works. Therefore, one should always supplicate, keeping all those blessings and delights in one's mind, that one may be granted the true essence of salat, the essence that has been granted to the true believers who are accepted in the sight of God as truthful and good. This is the ultimate prayer. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that God says that surely good works drive away evil works. And then it is also stated that salat safeguards one against indecent and immoral activities. However, we see that people who are regular in salat still engage in immoral activities. We often see that people who are offering salat are still engaged in such activities. The reason for this is that though such people offer their salat, they lack the true dedication, devotion, and deep commitment of the soul that is the prerequisite of the true salat. They offer their salat as a mere ritual or a habit. Their salat is like empty movements, and their soul is dead. Their salat is not considered as good works in the sight of God. In this verse, the word mentioned is good work and not salat. But here the meaning of the word salat and good work are interchangeable. This verse explains the beauty and joy of salat. That salat can melt away one's evil inclinations due to the truth that it contains within it. Salat is not the name of some mere bodily movements. In fact, its essence and soul is the supplication that gives one immense pleasure and joy. Expounding on the wisdom that lies behind the various states in salat and also the effects they should have on a person, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "Bear in mind that it is essential that one's physical and emotional state should also reflect one's speech. In other words, one should develop a state which one ought to have in Salat, and to realize that he or she is standing before God Almighty and speaking to him." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "At times, something is practically shown or its indication is given physically, and by observing that thing, a person can identify the purpose and the objective of it." Similarly, Salat is a practical illustration of what God Almighty wants. Salat and the various states within Salat are a practical indication of what Allah the Almighty wants from His creation. Therefore, just as words are spoken in Salat, similarly, the movements of one's body and one's limbs also demonstrate something. Our movements in Salat should be a physical reflection of what we are verbally saying in Salat. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, "When one stands in Salat and praises and glorifies God Almighty, it is known as Qiyam, i.e. the standing posture. Now, everyone knows that the appropriate action for praising and glorifying God Almighty is while standing. One stands in Salat while praising and glorifying God Almighty. When the eulogies are recited before the kings, they are done while standing. Therefore, in Salat, while there is the physical qiyam, i.e. the standing posture, corresponding to that physical action is the verbal praise and glorification, thus meaning that one should also spiritually be stood before God Almighty. When one is stood reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and praising God Almighty, there one should also spiritually be standing, and it should have an impact on the heart. Praise is only expressed when one is firm about a particular point. A person who testifies in the truthfulness of someone and affords him praise only does so because he is firm on his viewpoint. One cannot falsely praise someone. When a person praises someone who is truthful, it is only because he truly testifies in his truthfulness. Thus, a person who recites Alhamdulillah, i.e. all praise belongs to Allah, he can only truly say Alhamdulillah when he has complete certainty that all manner of acclaim belongs to Allah the Almighty alone. In other words, all praise belongs to God Almighty. And so, when one is completely convinced of this in one's heart, this is spiritual qiyam. When one's heart is convinced that all praise belongs to God Almighty and He alone is worthy of them, and one should only praise Him, and there is none else who can be praised, then the qiyam will be no longer just simply standing with the hands crossed together. In fact, it will be a spiritual qiyam, because the heart is also firmly with it. Then will it be said that a person is standing, as he is standing in harmony with his inner state, and so that he can also partake in the spiritual qiyam. One will stand in reflection of the state of one's heart. Then there is ruku, i.e. the posture of bowing, in which one affirms, "Holy is my Lord, the Most Great." It is a matter of principle that when one acknowledges someone's greatness, one bows to them, and the situation demands that one should affirm, "Holy is my Lord, the Most Great," and reflects this physically by bowing down. The tongue expresses the greatness of God Almighty, and with that the person bows down. Thus, the words and the physical state correlate with one another. And so, when one utters the words, it automatically transforms the physical state, which is that it wants to bow down. Thirdly, one affirms, "Holy is my Lord, the Most High." This state is one of the highest degree. In other words, the physical condition to express the greatness for something is the state of sajda, i.e. prostration. Such a state calls for one to prostrate. When a person expresses the highest form of praise for God Almighty, then this state of expressing His glory and greatness requires that one should go into sajda and prostrate before God Almighty. That is why the physical condition in reflection of this affirmation is that one should immediately fall into sajda. Verily, Thus, when one affirms the glory and the greatness of God Almighty in one's heart, then one also physically places the forehead onto the ground and prostrates. This is the physical reflection of one's inner state. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, thus there are three physical conditions to go with one's utterances in Salat. However, apart from the physical postures and also the tongue, which is part of the body and utters these words, there is also something else, which is the third thing. And if it is not included, the Salat is incomplete. What is that? It is one's heart. It is necessary to have the Qiyam of the heart as well. So when God Almighty looks at the person, He sees that as the person glorifies God, he also stands upright, and his soul, as well as his physical self, stands upright to glorify Allah the Almighty. God Almighty is aware of one's inner state, and therefore knows that along with the qiyam of the body, there is also the qiyam, i.e. the standing of the soul. Or that the soul is bowing down, or it is prostrating when one physically bows and prostrates. When a person utters, "Holy is my Lord, the Most Great," God sees that not only has the person acknowledged God's greatness, but has also bowed, and his soul has also bowed. Thirdly, when a person prostrates before God and is mindful of God's exaltedness, God sees that the person's soul also prostrates on God's threshold. In other words, the heart also goes into prostration. Therefore, one should not be satisfied until such a state has not been acquired, because that is what observing prayer means. If one asks that how can a person acquire such a state, the answer to this is that one should be regular in the observance of Salat and be not anxious about any doubts and misgivings. One should not become apprehensive from the doubts and misgivings that come while offering Salat, and instead should continue offering Salat regularly. One has to battle with doubts and misgivings in the early stages. In the early stages, one has to fight a battle with Satan. However, the antidote is not to tire and continue with resoluteness and steadfastness, and to supplicate to Allah the Almighty until that state is attained, which I have mentioned. Therefore, resoluteness is the condition, and if one develops this, then God Almighty runs towards such a person, and the grace and blessings of God Almighty descend upon that person. However, there are very few people who understand this reality, and they are haste in leaving the threshold of God Almighty, or they underestimate God and do not give Him the due importance, and then run towards worldly people. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states that it is worth remembering that Salat, which is Salat in the true sense, is attained only through prayers. It is totally against the ethos and honor of a true believer to seek from anyone save God, because supplication is only made to Him alone. Although people have general interaction with one another, and usually ask one another for something, however, seeking from others other than God Almighty and placing hope in them for something which in fact can only be done by God Almighty is completely wrong. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states, unless one asks God in complete humility and only asks Him, he is not worthy of being called a true Muslim or a true Mu'min, i.e. a true believer. The reality of Islam is that all of one's inner and external faculties submit to God Almighty. Just as all the components of a large engine operate on the power of the engine, likewise, unless a person makes all one's actions subservient to the high power of the engine, how can he be really convinced of the divineness of God and can truly consider himself as a Hanif, i.e. one who is ever inclined to God, when uttering, "I have turned my face towards Him who created the heavens and the earth." If he is inclined to God just as he utters, then no doubt he is a true Muslim. He is a true mu'min and a hanif. If he turns towards God just as he says he does, then such a person is a Muslim, a mu'min, a hanif, and also believes in one God. However, he who turns to others besides God and also seeks from God Almighty, in other words, on one hand he bows before God Almighty, and on the other hand he bows before others and associates others with God Almighty, he should remember that he is most unfortunate and at a loss, and a time will eventually come when he will not be able to turn to God in a pretentious manner. In other words, God Almighty moves away from such a person, and he can no longer turn to him, even if he did so superficially. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that one of the reasons why people give up salat and become weary is also because when a person turns to someone besides God, then one's heart and soul is also drawn to that source, just as branches of a tree are trained to grow in a certain direction. And so, the heart develops severity towards God Almighty, and it becomes like a stone. If the branches of a tree are tied in one particular direction, they will continue to grow in that direction. Therefore, if a person turns towards people, he will continue doing so, and his heart will also become hardened by God Almighty. Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states that just as the branches grow in one direction, similarly, the heart and soul grow distant from God day by day. Thus, this is a dangerous and frightening matter, that man should leave God and seek from another. This is why observance and regularity in salat is very important, so that it is established right from the beginning as an enduring habit, and one is mindful of turning to God Almighty. And then gradually the stage also comes when one is completely devoted to God and is the recipient of the divine light and a delight. Initially, one has to make an effort for salat, but when one turns to God with sincerity, it then gradually becomes a habit and one becomes a recipient of Allah the Almighty's grace. The promised Messiah says, "I once again emphasize on the point that it is unfortunate that I do not have the words to describe the ills of those who turn to others beside Allah the Almighty. They beseech other people, and this impassions God's sense of honor, because this is offering salat to others. Therefore, God Almighty moves away from them and casts them away. I will explain it in broad terms, and though it is not exactly like this, but I will give a worldly example by way of explaining this. And that is, that an honorable man cannot accept to see his wife have a relationship with another man. And in such instance, he will consider the immoral woman to be subjected to death. There are some people who think like this. Thus, devotion and supplication are for God alone. He does not like another to be called or considered worthy of worship. Therefore, it should be remembered very well that to turn to others besides God Almighty is cutting off ties with God, regardless of how much one prays and affirms the unity of God Almighty. The physical reflection of the belief in unity of God is salat, and it is without blessing and of no avail unless it has humility of spirit and a core that is inclined to God alone. Some people say that they prayed and cried a lot, however they attained nothing. Rejecting this claim of people, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, "Some people think that nothing is attained from God Almighty by crying. However, this statement of theirs is completely wrong and false. Such people do not have faith in God's attributes of power and control. If they had the true faith in them, they would never have the courage to say it. Whenever man comes towards God Almighty and truly repents and turns to him, God Almighty always blesses him. How true has someone said, 'Meaning, how can a person be classified a lover if his beloved never pays attention towards him? Oh, sir, there is an absence of pain, otherwise the doctor is present.' So it is wrong when you say that there is pain. God Almighty desires that you come towards Him with a pure heart. The only condition is that you act according to the wishes of God. This is very important. One must formulate himself according to the wishes of God and should act in accordance. One must develop the change that can enable one to reach God. I truly express to you that God has hidden and incomprehensible powers and He possesses unbound grace and bounty, but you must develop an eye capable to see them. Cultivate a sincere love for God. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that if there is true love, then God immensely listens to prayers and grants help. Therefore, we need to make ourselves such that God Almighty would listen to our prayers. Those who allege that God Almighty does not listen to their prayers, majority of them do not even pray the five daily prayers. Prayer only comes to their minds when a worldly hardship befalls them. However, God Almighty says that He certainly will listen to one's prayers, but one must follow His commandments. Thus, everyone should assess themselves to see if they are following the commandments of Allah the Almighty. If anyone has a complaint against Allah the Almighty, then they should first answer for themselves as to whether or not they follow His commandments. As the promised Messiah alayhi salam has written in one place that there are 700 commandments that are found in the Holy Quran, then how many of us follow 700 commandments? If one is to make allegations, then one should compare this aspect too. It is in fact the kindness of God Almighty that despite this, He has mercy on people and forgives them repeatedly. And He even listens to many of their prayers. Despite the fact that many of those who do not even do the five daily prayers, God accepts their prayers. And this, in fact, is the mercy of Allah the Almighty. At times, even without the prayers of people, through the manifestation of His other attributes, God Almighty fulfills the need of people. Therefore, one cannot be in any position to complain against God Almighty. And we should try to follow the commandments of Allah the Almighty, and we should try to pray and worship and fulfill our other obligations towards Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says that until a person is not fully established upon the unity of God, such a person cannot inculcate within himself the love and grandeur of Islam. He further states that such a person cannot attain the pleasure and joy of Salat. It is all dependent upon the fact that unless bad, impure intentions and wicked scheming are not incinerated, and arrogance and conceit will not be removed in order to attain humility and humbleness. Until then, a person cannot be called a true servant of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said that Salat is the best teacher and the most excellent means of attaining complete servitude to God. Thus, the best teacher and the most excellent means of attaining complete servitude to Allah the Almighty is Salat. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, I reiterate that if true communion and true connection with God Almighty was desired, then one should abide by Salat, and should abide by Salat in a way that not just one's body or one's tongue, but the very intentions and passions of one's soul embody Salat. May Allah the Almighty enable us to safeguard our Salat in such a way that may our souls and our desires truly fulfill the obligations of Salat. After the Friday prayers, I will also be leading a funeral prayer in absentia, which is of respected Asghara Begum Sahiba, the wife of late Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib, the former Amir Jamaat of Karachi. On the 27th of March, she passed away at the age of 90 after a short period of illness. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Her nikah to Sheikh Rahmatullah Sahib took place in 1943, and she accepted Ahmadiyyat in Lahore in 1944 at the hand of Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. She accepted Ahmadiyyat before her husband. She fulfilled her pledge to Khilafat with complete honesty all her life, and always advised her children to remain connected to Khilafat. She had a great reverence for Khilafat. And since its inception, watching MTA was her favorite pastime. She was a Musia, a most steadfast person with a keen sense of gratitude. She was prayerful, observed tahajjud, and was regular in observing Salat and fasting and the recitation of the Holy Quran. During the time her husband was privileged to serve in Karachi, she also served shoulder to shoulder with him. She was a most hospitable person and was a very notable quality of hers. When Sheikh Sahib was Amir Jamaat Karachi, among all other activities, she fulfilled the responsibility hosting guests a great deal and had the honor to host Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II and Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III and also Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV. She was at the forefront of making financial sacrifices. Once in 1950, the Jamaat went through a time of financial constraints and Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II made special appeal. Following this, her husband gave a large portion of his income to the Jamaat and she was also regular in making sacrifices with him. She lived a very simple life, free from affectations. Her son writes that she always advised her children to write letters to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih requesting prayers. She leaves behind 5 sons and 2 daughters and 43 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. One of her sons, Dr. Naseem Rahmatullah Sahib, who is the Naib Amir of the USA Jamaat and is in charge of our website alislam.org, is one of her sons. Her son-in-law, Rahmani Sahib, has lived here in the UK for a long time and served as Secretary Vasi at UK Jamaat for a very long time. His wife, Jamila Rahmani, has served as Secretary Mal in her local branch and has also served or is serving in other capacities as well. One of her sons, Farukhtullah Sheikh Sahib, is Naib Amir of Faisalabad in Pakistan. And may Allah the Almighty elevate the station of the deceased and keep her children and generations connected to Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ